Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 553. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot there, Kevin. How about yourself?
Yeah, not a heck of a lot, and that kind of was our problem. we were scanning our wrestling memory banks from the recent airings, and there's not a whole lot that jumped out at us. I don't know. Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that the WWE has that weird show, Super Showdown? Yeah, is it Super Showdown?
Super Showdown, yes.
In Saudi Arabia, like, I don't know if that just really, because this is the first time they've done it this time of the year, correct?
That is correct. Yes, this is the first time they are putting this in the middle of WrestleMania season, and it has definitely felt like it is slowing down storytelling and the pace of shows. Raw has just SmackDown is doing the bulk of the load of promoting the show with Goldberg and the Fiend, obviously the main event, and for its part, Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin in a cage, but it's pretty obvious that over on the Raw side, they just don't care. You know, I mean, the main event of Raw was two guys who aren't even going.
I did enjoy the main event of Raw. I was not aware of the fact that neither of them are going. They don't have any big battle royal type thing going on for this one, do they?
No, they're doing that gauntlet match thing.
Oh, okay.
With Raw people.
I guess I always feel like they fly over a bunch of talent just because they end up having some style of match like that. You know, where they have either the Greatest Royal Rumble. I know that was a signature event, but I always feel like they try to have something that gets almost everyone on the card, which kind of surprises me that neither Montez... Well, I guess I'm not surprised that Montez Ford isn't going. I'm a little surprised that...
Montez Ford? What are you talking about? Street Profits are challenging for the tag titles.
Oh, hold on. What was the main event then?
Randy Orton and Kevin Owens.
Oh, shit. Oh, I didn't scroll down far enough. And I forgot. I don't know why I forgot that happened, because I had to laugh that another person that I watched very early on in their career has made it to WWE TV. That being one Jake Clemens, the referee who helped screw Kevin Owens, is a Cleveland kid.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because it seemed like they did something, and then they just blew it off right then and there. I mean, there's no way he could... he was not subtle about screwing over Kevin Owens and joining up with Seth Rollins at all. It's weird that they flew someone in from Cleveland to Winnipeg to play that role. There was no one in Winnipeg who could take a powerbomb.
I know that Kevin Owens has a connection with AIW and wrestled there quite a bit. I don't know if this is just him calling in a favor. Why that's the favor that you call in? I guess it just happened to be that's when they needed to have that. You know, I guess that's an angle that you can't go, oh, let's, you know, get him in at a better time.
I don't think it needed to be any specific person. I don't think there's any real. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe... I haven't heard anything about this fella being signed, and and becoming a regular part of Seth's entourage, but who knows?
I mean, I did find it pretty interesting because I know that he refereed a match earlier in the night, and that's when I was just like, oh, did he get signed with the WWE? Like, that, I was like, that's pretty baller if he did. But yeah, I mean, I would have to say that answer is no now, but who knows? You know, until he isn't on TV again, I guess there could be some speculation. But yeah, that angle did seem to pay off, like instantly. And it seemed like a really odd time, to have that screw job go down. Like it almost seemed like Kevin Owens wasn't going to kick out anyway.
Yeah, that was a weird, yeah, that's not how you're supposed to do that. No. Yeah. Owens should have had his shoulder up immediately after the three count.
Yeah, like because, like, he counted the three really quick, and I know that he did it really quick, but, yeah, you should be showing, like, some type of, I tried to get out of this, and they definitely screwed me situation where, but, like, Owen's shoulders were still on the mat when he hit three, and it's just like, this seems a little odd, guys. So, yeah, I mean, I understand the angle, but the execution seemed a little bit off to me. And I don't know. I mean, are they going to use that to plant the seed of Seth Rollins having all the referees in his pocket?
I don't know. It seems kind of silly, but maybe they could do something where there needs to be a special guest referee for the eventual Owens-Rollins singles match at WrestleMania. You know, maybe that's a direction they could take it to get someone else to get another legend on this damn show. Is it there's not going to be enough already?
Oh. Yeah, I.
But hey, you know what? Whatever, it's their money. I don't mind it, I guess.
yeah, I mean, it doesn't really bother me one way or the other. It like you said, like it almost seems like you're putting extra sugar in the dessert anyway. You know, there's so much in there. You're kind of it's almost getting too sweet. Yeah, because I guess I don't care if there's a special guest referee in the Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens match that will not have title implications.
Right? No, it absolutely will not. So yeah, no, that's. I guess that's a direction they can go. I mean, but how many refs can Seth can they do this with Seth before it starts to get ridiculous? I don't know.
Oh, agreed. Yeah, I don't know how you extend it to kind of keep that story going, honestly, because there's still, especially if that feud waits to, and it would seem to blow off at WrestleMania, because, I mean, we discussed last week how long they've kind of kept these two apart. You know, I don't see them blowing it off at Elimination Chamber for both of them to have a new feud going into WrestleMania. Like, that would seem pretty wild.
Right, yeah.
Well, we do know that there's going to be one person that is not in this feud for the next month, and I would doubt that it, and I would assume it's going to cost him a spot in this feud at WrestleMania. Samoa Joe, not going to be involved in this four-man group that is taking on Seth Rollins and his. Do they have a name yet?
No, they do not.
Okay. Yep, I would have thought someone would have pitched that by now, but hey, it finally just dawned on me that they don't have an actual name. I was about ready to call them the Messiahs just because, I guess. I mean, if he's the Monday Night Messiahs, that seems right. Anyway, it looks like maybe the Street Profits will be there for Seth Rollins, for Rollins and Murphy. It was almost a little weird to involve another tag team when there's a non-traditional tag team involved in this feud, and then two other legitimate tag teams already involved in this feud.
I would definitely say that the Rollins and Murphy should lose the tag team championships before WrestleMania between Super Showdown and Elimination Chamber. I think that is definitely due, and I would not mind seeing the Street Profits get the tag team championships, because then they can certainly feud with AOP, and we could involve the Viking Raiders as well, because I'm assuming we're gonna WrestleMania for the lesser championships, we're getting a number of multiple person matches.
Yeah, it would not surprise me if there's a three team match on the Raw side of the tag team ledger. Now that the Street Profits got involved in this, it would make a great deal of sense to extend this feud. AOP's trying to get the title back for the Messiahs. The Viking Raiders haven't really gotten a rightful rematch against Rollins and Murphy, at least in theory, and then you have the Street Profits with the titles. It could easily go that route, I think. Well, and I guess the other person in that match there that we could probably talk about, Randall Orton. What say you about another week of promo out of Randy Orton?
I still like what they're doing. Randy's good at this. The continued non-explanation every week, the bizarre apologies while not exactly showing that he's in any way sorry for anything he's done. No, I mean, I like it so far. Owens, Canadian in Canada was a good surrogate this week, as we await the inevitable return of Edge. I mean, it was all fine. Minor storyline advancement stuff.
Yeah, that's that's one that doesn't have a whole lot of twists and turns just because Edge isn't there, and really, I don't think there's any need for him to be there either, really. I guess I'm not surprised if he does not wrestle all that frequently in this comeback. I would think that there is still some level of consequence for what he is doing here, in regards to his health, so that they're probably going to limit the bumps that he takes. If he starts wrestling every week, I'm just going to be mystified.
No, I'm doubting that so far, no.
Yeah. And I guess I did yeah, I liked it too. Like, it's just one of those things that Orton's there to move things along, and it's good to kind of switch up who his opponents are. It was a little nice little bit of a breakup to have Kevin Owens deal with someone else, on this long ride that he's had against Seth Rollins and his cronies. You know, I think it worked out for everyone involved, like, because they're going to need to find ways to keep Orton fresh if they're going to keep Edge out for, you know, another week or two. And even then, like, you can't really hold up, like, you can't do a brawl between them every week.
No, no, no.
So there's going to be some level of creativity to either keep them apart or to limit their interactions until WrestleMania. And I guess now, since we are on Raw, we could probably stay there. I don't know. Is there anything to be made about the formal contract signing for the Ladies Elimination Chamber match, since it involves, as we talked about last week, a fairly obvious winner in Shayna Baszler?
Yeah, no, I mean, that was a little messy. Nothing to make you believe that anyone else could possibly win this match. It was a miss for me until Becky showed up. I mean, I kind of enjoyed Liv Morgan's dive over the table onto Ruby Riott, but beyond that, nothing much to it.
Yeah, that part was hilarious. When that's the hot, well, it can be the highlight of the segment if it's a good segment up till then. I will just continue to have a crush on Asuka cutting her promos in Japanese.
Oh yeah, no, Asuka was tremendous. Yes, Asuka continues to be tremendous every week.
So, I think I could listen to one of her promos every week for the rest of eternity at this point. Not that I think that that'd be a good idea, but she's really enjoyable. But, you know, there really wasn't a whole lot in between her promo and Becky showing up that did a whole lot for me. It's just, you know, there are times where I feel bad for some of the ladies, just because all of the Riott Squad has still had a very limited character development. Like, they tried to do something for Liv, but then completely blew it up 5 minutes after she got back on Raw. And, you know, Ruby Riott seems to be trying to reestablish herself. And Sarah Logan is just completely, she's out in the woods all the time. I mean, it's not her fault, I don't think, but character development wise. And I mean, that really does leave you with Asuka and Shayna. And Natalia has kind of been a blank slate herself, honestly,
She's been feuding with the Kabuki Warriors. They've already announced that Beth Phoenix is going to be on Raw next week. I'm sure that will at least somewhat tie into the Randy Orton Edge storyline, whether next week is the return of Edge or not. But I could see them doing something with Natalya and Beth Phoenix going for the Women's Tag Team Championship at WrestleMania, you know, with, even if it's some, you know, a four-way or whatever. That seems to make sense.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're doing, and
yeah, so the women on Raw are a bit I guess, again, like, they need to find multiple ways to keep kind of obvious feuds apart, and this is the way they decided to go with the ladies on Raw, and I guess that's fine. It's not the best, you know. I guess they should use these types of moments to make the characters of the former Riott Squad and, Even Natalia could use a little bit of a refresh as far as, you know, being a badass or something like that. And they rarely take advantage of that, which is a little bit of a shame. What did you think of seeing Drew McIntyre in 3MB?
It felt like a lifetime ago. I did not remember him being that skinny back then. Holy shit.
Yeah, I didn't remember him being that small, and honestly, I guess I thought that it was longer than a year and a half that he was gone from the WWE.
I feel like it was a lot longer than that, too.
But that's what they were saying, correct?
Well, he would have been back in NXT by, what, 2016?
Yeah.
So I guess a year and a half would work if he you know, stumbled around in 3MB doing that stuff with Hornswoggle and, you know, all of that until about 2014, 2015. Yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because didn't he also get injured as well somewhere? In, or no, was that somebody else who got injured?
Yeah, he got injured at the tail end of his NXT run.
Yeah, he never finished, he never went back to NXT. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, no, so yeah, no, that makes sense that, yeah, he would have been back in, well, you know what, I got it right here, let's, yeah. You talk, I'll look it up.
Well, yeah, at least the review that I'm looking at, he said it was 4 years between his appearances on Raw. But I guess I would have sworn that he was out of the WWE for 4 years, honestly. Like, I guess I didn't think that it was a long, long time, but a year and a half seemed too short. So yeah, that part of the segment was kind of weird to me, but yeah, I guess I didn't realize how much bulk he has added in the meantime. And it's always one of those things that I'm kind of surprised. Like, the WWE has a couple of guys like him and Bobby Lashley who legitimately could have feuds with Brock Lesnar, and they keep on talking about Brock Lesnar not having any opponents, and and they being Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. And they've never set either of those two guys up to be opponents of Brock Lesnar. Like, physically, they match up with Lesnar better than, like, 90% of the roster. So I guess it was always a little surprising for all of the... I know that the big guy favoritism, his criticism has gone away as of late. But you would think that one of those two guys would benefit from it, because I do feel like Drew's mic skills have progressed quite a bit. Like, I've really enjoyed what he's done. Like, I don't feel like Bobby Lashley has translated as well from his TNA / Impact run back to the WWE, but... the sexy Scott stuff has kind of got me cracking up, and I still think it's kind of weird, but it's also working, probably because it's weird.
Yeah, no, he's been really good. He's showing more personality. He's showing, yeah, he's showing these guys a sense of humor. Showing, it's good for him because he's, you know, his NXT run was plagued by him being this scowling baby face the whole time. And then he comes back to the main roster. He's a heel for, 2 years, which was good for him too. There were a lot of ups and downs during that time period. They never really committed to him until the night of the Royal Rumble.
Right.
And okay. He left WWE in June of 2014. And he returned to NXT. His NXT debut was in April of 2017. So he was gone for about 3 years.
Okay. I still would swear that they said in a year and a half during that video package. But whatever the case, that seems to make a little more sense to me. And I do think it's true. Like, he got annoyed. I guess I forgot how young he was when he first popped on when he said he was 21. So that was something that was a little bit of a surprise to me, too. And that still gives, you know, he's still relatively young for all of the all the time spent, you know, in the WWE and then out of the WWE and now back in the WWE. Like, he's, you know, at least on the youngest side, considering all of the main eventers are probably either in their late 30s or early 40s at this juncture. You know, being in your early to mid 30s is quote unquote young.
Right, yeah, I would say at this point, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I'm really hoping that he gets a chance to run with the championship at this point. Just, you know, as long as the WWE can handle not making him cheesy as soon as he wins the championship, they'll be okay. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I've really liked where he's progressed in the meantime, and I think he's gotten even better in the WWE as he's been there and changed characters again. So yeah, I guess I'm looking forward to this one. But he's another guy that he doesn't have a whole lot to do between now and WrestleMania. Like, they're trying to sell Ricochet possibly beating Brock Lesnar, but I think everyone knows that that isn't going to happen.
No, it's definitely not going to happen. In fact, it straight up can't happen. It's, you know, hopefully Ricochet gets a little bit off of it, but I don't know how much. I mean, show on Thursday afternoon, a lot of people skip it for numerous reasons. I'll probably watch it, you know, Thursday when I get home from work. If I got nothing else better to do, I guess I'll probably watch it. I mean, I'm paying for the WWE Network anyway. It's not like
it's not like you're gonna get your money back for not watching it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, otherwise, it's, you know. You know, Ricochet and Brock is a match they decided to go with because Brock has to be on these shows, so here we are.
Yeah. At least for Ricochet this week, they didn't give him a mic because he is definitely one person that has not done a whole lot of progressing on the mic in the WWE.
No, not at all, no. He's pretty bad on the mic still, and that's not going to help his cause either.
Yeah, and I guess it's another thing that I'm not sure if we talked about it or not, but I think we did last week. Like, there isn't anything more to say about Aleister Black and Eric Rowan, is there?
Not necessarily that specifically, but the, you know, the introduction of an Aleister Black AJ Styles feud, interesting that they're, you know, going that direction. I mean, I don't think I'm spoiling anything by, you know, to a large portion of our audience by saying that rumors are out there that one Mr. AJ Styles is rumored to be in the running to be an opponent for The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Interesting that they put Aleister Black in with AJ Styles now. Makes you wonder, maybe some kind of a tag team deal will form out of this.
Anything that would limit Taker's involvement in any match would probably be a good thing. And you could kind of easily... obviously the aesthetic of Aleister Black and the way he's talked, it would certainly fit in with, if you're going with the club, you need three people, so you get Aleister Black as one, Undertaker as one, and I would assume that Kane has not been shy about accepting a payday here recently, and again, nor do I blame him. But you could have a six-man match out of that fairly easily. And that's one way to start things. Aleister Black wants AJ Styles next week. And I got a feeling that things aren't going to go smoothly, and that it'll set up further matches, so we'll just have to see where things go from there.
Yeah. I mean, then it's interesting that, once again, second week in a row, Rowan takes a clean loss to an already, now this time, injured Aleister Black, so it's looking like they are on the road to giving up on Rowan again.
Yeah. And that's one that, I don't even know what to say about that. Like,
I mean,
you know, it's one of those things that I've watched, not that I'm a big fan, but I feel like you've mentioned, you're like, oh, they're getting good ratings for those segments, or maybe Jeremy mentioned it to me. And it's just like, okay, I mean, I guess if that's what if they're getting a lot of views for that, keep on rolling. And I mean, they kind of even gave that away, considering that Rowan knocked the cart, like, clean across the, well, half of the ring's length. You know, I guess they didn't give anything away because you didn't see it. But there's still, I don't know, I guess the mystique's gone. Like, him being strong and powerful and being able to whoop people because that was in his corner helps its mystique. You know, it's kind of like if The Undertaker lost all the time when Paul Bearer was carrying around the urn wouldn't have any special powers to it.
Right, exactly. No. It's, yeah. I mean, maybe they figured out that we can't actually have anything in that thing that could live up to the hype. Well, I mean, they've having wild animals at ringside, it went out in the early 90s. Peter would have a field day.
I guess I never thought that there was a good way to pay it off.
There's no real good way to pay it off, and when they're done with Rowan as a single, what are they going to do? Look around for Luke Harper and then say, oh shit?
I mean that is a possibility of something that could happen. But yeah, I guess I just, you know, it's still one of those things that I don't get it, you know, like, why give up on him like that? Like, it still doesn't seem like they gave him a chance.
No, they absolutely did not.
Because, I mean, he got a bunch of squash matches, and then did he beat someone with half a name, like Matt Hardy?
Yes, Matt Hardy's the biggest name he beat.
Okay.
That says a lot right there.
Well, that was the beginning of the burying, I feel like, of Matt Hardy. Although, I guess I wouldn't call it burying, really, but I think it's pretty obvious that he is not long for the WWE. Rowan. Yeah, I mean, give like, I guess I always want to at least see the failure instead of hearing that they just kind of cooled off on a guy. Like, I'm okay if you push a guy and it just doesn't work. It happens. Like, I guess that, and I think that's what frustrates me sometimes about the WWE. Like, kind of go for it instead of half-assing it. If it fails, it fails, and then you move on to the next guy. But they don't, to me, they don't do that very well.
No, they don't at all.
And I do think another thing that could be noted, the Aleister Black promo about challenging AJ Styles, probably his best work on the mic, since we have been talking about positives and negatives on that end. Did you like that promo?
Yeah, no. AJ was very good there. I mean, he's definitely become a good promo over the years. He's a good character to have on the show in any spot.
And I'm just checking to see. I mean, I don't think there's anything more to say about the Latino on Latino violence, is there?
No, not really. No. I guess that it'd be interesting what happens when Andrade returns next week and how the dynamic works between Andrade, Zelina, and Angel Garza.
Yeah, and I swear that I heard Zelina's former client during when the announce team was talking. Am I mistaken?
How would you be mistaken? I didn't quite get it.
Well, did you hear that also, or is that something that didn't get said? Because I feel like they said Zelina's former client Andrade. And I was just like, oh, that's a weird choice of words.
I didn't hear that. So if that's what they said, that yeah, I don't. That's a pretty big thing to drop casually.
Yeah, that was one that I'm just like, they haven't really said anything. And I mean, it wouldn't make any sense for her to drop him, considering that it was, for all intents and purposes, an injury. At least storyline wise, why he isn't on TV. So yeah, I feel like they'd need to come up with something a little bit better on TV if she drops him altogether. Plus, they would definitely need to have to give him a microphone then.
Right, yeah.
Which they have been pretty reluctant to do so. Yeah, I mean, that's the only other thing that was on Raw worth talking about. I guess since we have talked a little Super Showdown, what'd you think of the final hype for Goldberg versus The Fiend?
I mean, it was paint by numbers, like exactly what you should have done, really. I mean, Goldberg gets a spear on The Fiend, but the Fiend teleports out of there. Nothing too out of the ordinary. Well, I guess I just mentioned teleportation and said nothing out of the ordinary. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, out of the ordinary for professional wrestling, I think should always be inferred in any conversation between any of the hosts.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm still not getting a feel for. I mean, I'm still, I guess, Goldberg winning is still maybe more of a pie in the sky type thing, and most likely The Fiend will retain. But there's definitely still a chance that they'd run with Goldberg and switch things up with the expected WrestleMania lineup. I'm not getting any. It really didn't give me any new feel for where they're headed.
Agreed on all accounts. You know, it hyped the spear a little bit. It didn't have Bray Wyatt selling too much though, because he did teleport out of there, which is fine. You know, I guess you want to see the real pain in him at some later juncture. I think the level of selling that he has to do will probably be the most telling thing during that match.
Yeah, that's yeah. I don't really. That's a match that can't go more than 5 minutes. There's just nothing those two can do to each other. I mean, unless we're talking the Bray with a lot of rust holes. I mean, there's just there's just not much those two are going to be able to do outside of just 5 minutes really. I don't know. I can't put 5 minutes on
That should be a pretty short match, I would imagine. Like, I would think that 10 minutes would be a topper, if they really extended that thing. And I'll be fine too if they introduce the Fiend selling in that one. Like, they at some juncture they need to get over that, or else his matches are going to be boring very quickly.
Right, and it's not like Bray Wyatt was burning it up, but before he left to become he went on his sabbatical to become the Fiend in the ring either.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't tell you a long, yeah, any time that Bray Wyatt has had a long match.
Or a good match against anyone not named Daniel Bryan. Maybe some of the stuff he did with Roman Reigns did years and years ago was pretty good, but
Yeah,
yeah.
and he might have had a fun. I would imagine that him and Dean Ambrose had some fun brawls at some point.
Right, yeah.
But
Yeah, this
that's different than a good match, also, in my book.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is the argument for Bray not being the champion very long in this gimmick. I mean, he can do that the character stuff anywhere on the card, but there's a standard for main events that not that having Goldberg be a champion
Is
is
gonna
what
solve
can.
that problem.
I mean, you could get one dynamic match out of him and Roman Reigns, or him and John Cena. I mean, because John Cena returning on Friday, that's gonna add something to the WrestleMania hype. And build that we're also not sure of that. There's definitely more questions on the SmackDown side of things than the Raw side of things.
Oh yeah. Yes. SmackDown is an open book at this juncture for WrestleMania, because like I'm trying to even think of, because yeah, I mean the ladies' championship match is a little bit of a question mark, but I would.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they're running with Naomi as the challenger at Super Showdown, which that was a possible WrestleMania match, and it still could be.
Yeah.
In a kind of a throwaway line during her sit-down interview, Lacey Evans mentioned there being, a SmackDown Women's Chamber on top of a Raw Women's Chamber when it's expected that. So that was odd, even though they have yet to officially announce the a SmackDown Men's Chamber either. So
Oh.
I don't know how many chamber matches they're going to be.
It's they're just gonna go Impact style and just have every match inside the same thing.
Might as well.
But yeah, there's yeah, so I yeah, like you said, I was a little surprised that Naomi won this week. I kind of figured that Carmella would win, go to Super Showdown, lose, and Naomi would still be there, because basically all of her claims would still be the same, which is that, you know, she's never lost. to Bayley, and you can run with that. And heck, have her beat Carmella again once Super Showdown's over. If you feel like there's any leftover problems in that department. But hey, agreed on the count that it could still happen very much, that Naomi and Bayley match. But it could be another match where there are any number of women involved too.
Right.
Potentially. Like, I guess they're not really showing their cards right now, but having Lacey Evans be one of the few additional ladies to pop up and get promo time certainly makes you think about it.
Right, yeah.
Is there anything else? Yeah, Daniel Bryan and Heath Slater. That happened.
That did happen. Although it is going to possibly lead to Daniel Bryan Drew Gulak matches as early as this week, so that could be fun.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if Daniel Bryan wants to use his powers to wrestle some people that might not otherwise get on the card at this juncture, I'm kind of game for that. Like, he's kind of done everything you could do in the championship department, honestly. Like, I don't think he was ever going to be a 16-time reigning WWE champion.
Right.
Even if things had gone well for him health-wise. I still couldn't believe that they did another Symphony of Destruction match on SmackDown.
Yeah, that was... I enjoyed it for what it was. Yeah, it was a good brawl.
Yeah,
they really didn't. They really didn't think that whole piano thing through. poor Shinsuke's poor back of Shinsuke's head.
Yeah, I think yeah, just the wherewithal that they brought that back was a little surprising to me, but the match was fun. You know, you got four guys in there who can really, well, you got, yeah, like Shinsuke Nakamura is the only guy that doesn't wrestle heavy, which is kind of funny for a guy that calls himself the King of Strong Style. But Cesaro really wrestles like heavier than his weight, I think sometimes. And Elias is a pretty big dude. And obviously, Braun Strowman is enormous.
Right.
So it makes for fun destruction of musical instruments that are poorly constructed. And then back to... What was the... Oh. Dear Lord. It was the Usos New Day stuff to kick off the show. Are there any words to be had about the Usos, the Morrisons, the Ziggler's, the Roods, any of these persons?
I really can't think of anything. It was a thing. It happened.
Yeah. Fair enough. Anything else to talk about? Anything to get off your chest before we talk beer?
Because
that puts a bow on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah. We didn't get to have a Wednesday Night War show this week. I certainly, if we did, and I guess I could talk a little bit about it now. I did not like it. Okay, positive. AEW had one of their best shows ever. I think that goes without saying.
Right.
NXT, on the other hand, that was rough. That they they built up this big grudge match, and Strong and Velveteen Dream just did not bring the intensity to me at all. It was just you're one of the mill attempt at having a good modern wrestling match, which I have had my fill of that in NXT. We talked about that last week. there's just such a sameness to all the NXT men's single stuff, and promising more Keith Lee and Dijakovic did not get me excited at all either.
it was really just an okay kind of a situation. Like, yeah, that, yeah, NXT just was not good last week. I guess I didn't have as much of a problem with the main event maybe as you did, but I still wasn't exactly enamored with it either.
Right. No,
and everything on AEW really clicked. Like, we've definitely had our issues with the women's division there, and I felt like, because I'm trying to remember who Chris Statlander wrestled.
Shayna. Yeah, I think that's the girl's name. Once again, they gotta start focusing on the same, a core group of women who are on the show every week, or at least like every other week. Gotta stop debuting new girls, having girls go weeks without being on Dynamite, and bringing different Japanese girls in every week. They've got to focus on a core group of women.
Yeah, I will say though that I felt like that was one of the better women's matches. Like, even though they brought Shayna out of the blue, and we haven't seen her in, I don't know, what's it been, 6 months now? 5 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, that part of it, her not being involved up to this point, and then suddenly being good enough to take on Chris Statlander when you're really kind of pushing rankings is pretty weird. I mean, I know that you don't need to be like a 4 and a 5 wrestling each other, but kind of a non-ranked against someone that highly ranked is a little bit weird in the scope of things. But yeah, again, I guess my point was going to be that I did actually enjoy that match. Like, that's how well AEW was hitting in that department for me.
Yeah.
Was that even the women's match that I've typically made fun of went off well.
Yeah, no. The match went off well. I mean, it was a good win for Statlander. They're moving forward with Statlander going against Nyla Rose on Saturday at Revolution. That was all good. Britt Baker Tony Schiavone chemistry, I'm really getting a kick out of it. So, you know, Britt Baker's really fleshing out her character, and you know, to be essentially be the lead heel or the number two heel in the women's division. That's, you know, that's all well and good. They're starting from behind. They're relaunching this women's division essentially out of the negative. So I mean, I'm definitely giving them a lot of patience, and I'm enjoying what I'm seeing so far.
Yeah. So that was something that off the top of my head stood out for AEW. The main event was a lot of fun. You were kind of talking about the modern main event in NXT. Like, I was, and we talked about how many things people kicked out of in NXT TakeOver. It was super nice to see Cody Rhodes hit the top of the cage moonsault and for there just to be a pin.
Yeah, no. And that was the kind of the nice part of the match. I mean, the story of the match was essentially, you know, Wardlow on offense most of the time, but also Wardlow not necessarily trying to beat Cody in the match, trying to hurt him on behalf of MJF. So you didn't have all those near falls and things of that nature. It took a lot for Cody to beat Wardlow as it should have. It was hard to come up with expectations for that cage match because Wardlow was such an unknown variable, but whatever the expectations were, they really blew them away. The stuff with MJF and Arn Anderson and Brandy on the outside was fun, especially the cage door slamming in MJF's face. That was got a great reaction from the crowd, and everything was perfectly timed moment. That was all tremendous. I love that. And funny thing is, it wasn't even the best match on the show. I mean, because that tag title match was definitely something.
There's
a lot of moves, but I like that in the form of tag team wrestling because then you get the other people in the ring, you get saves instead of kickouts. I can definitely am a lot tolerable of things like that in tag matches, and I really enjoyed that match a lot today.
I really dig the chemistry that Adam Page and Kenny Omega have. And I guess they're telling kind of an interesting story that's, itself, it's been fine that it hasn't been fleshed out, actually, with what Adam Page's exact beef is with the Young Bucks. But he still doesn't, because whatever, and I guess they'll reveal it eventually, but obviously Kenny Omega was not party to whatever the Young Bucks did to blow off Adam Page. So, I mean, sometimes untold story works well and can be teased out. And, yeah, like having Omega be the middleman in this feud is an interesting position for him. And it does kind of keep him out of the title picture, which is better to have him as a tag team champion than losing as a singles wrestler.
No,
losing his mojo.
I do totally agree with that. But this whole thing is getting Hangman more and more popular every week. So if the idea in the end was supposed to be a heel turn, I'd err on the side of changing that up a bit, because I think that Hangman's about where they want him, where they've wanted him to be this whole time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you start him off in the main event against Chris Jericho, you kind of want him up in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, and it was not this version of Hangman, the cool guy you want to drink with. But he still kicks a lot of ass. He's definitely been tremendous, and I'm kind of hoping they don't turn him heel, or if they do, they really have a good reasoning behind it, because it could blow up in their face.
So it's I guess it'll be interesting. I guess it bothers me and doesn't bother me that the Lucha Brothers have a tendency to bend the rules in the tag team department. They always bring great wrestling to the table, so that kind of minimizes my bitching about it.
No, that's it.
It still does help to make for an exciting match, though.
Yeah, no. I mean, that was the really the best version of that kind of match, and I do think that Omega and Hangman, did their part to keep it, grounded enough, more than if it was, the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers.
Yeah, because as much as Omega was, I was almost going to call him in the X division, but a junior heavyweight, he never really had he has a couple of high-flying moves, but he really is more of a ground-based attack, and so is Adam Page. I mean, they definitely hype Adam Page's strength more than they would with a Kenny Omega, even though they're, he's a pretty big guy. And you know, Paige also brings a little bit of dynamism with the buckshot lariat and a couple other things that you might kind of consider high flying, but it's still more flair on a ground based attack than high flying. So, yeah. I think that's a good 10-minute wrap up on NXT and AEW. Don't you think?
I agree. We can move on out of here.
So, for this this Fat Tuesday, I am drinking Otto's Pub and Brewery, which can be found in the lovely city of State College, Pennsylvania, a.k.a. Happy Valley, where Penn State is. Yeah, they do have at least one good brewery up there, and Otto's is it. It has been around for quite a while at this point. And this is a new flavor that I found when I was recently back in my hometown of Altoona. Palette Jack Ale, and yeast from a Belgian brewery, and hopped with Simcoe hops, 6.1 ABV. It's quite tasty. I like Simcoe hops. The Belgian yeast always brings something a little bit different to the table. I don't feel like I've had as many Belgian IPAs recently. That seems to have gone out of style. I think possibly because a couple of the breweries that that made it are no longer in existence, at least within my reach. So yeah, I think that that yeast brings a nice kind of mellowness to the hops. And I think it works out well with Simcoe, which has a naturally fruity, almost a kind of an orangey flavor to it. So, yeah, if you happen to find yourself around State College, I would say pick this one up if you like kind of the pale ale IPA style. And, yeah, that's the Belltime beer for SGA 553. I'm at DeFrango11, he's at StuntCali, the brand is at StuntGranny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us, and have a good night.
Later.